This is the Iran Human Rights Podcast, a closer look at human rights issues by the International Campaign for Human Rights in Iran. The assault on freedom of speech continues as two more prominent Iranian journalists have been arrested. Agents stormed the homes of Parastu Doguhaki and Marzieh Rasuli, confiscating their laptops and personal belongings, and then whisking them off to Tehran's Evin prison, where they are reportedly being held in solitary confinement. Reports emerging from the country say that the two are inside a secret and illegal ward of the prison known as Ward AA. The ward is not under the jurisdiction or supervision of the Iranian Prisons Organization and is illegally run by the Intelligence Department of the Revolutionary Guard. The two have been charged with, quote, acting against national security and propaganda against the regime, two loosely defined charges that are used again and again in cases like these. So far, the pair have been denied visitation from their family and have not been allowed access to an attorney. Ms. Rasuli has been a music and literary critic for several years. Ms. Doguhaki, who is in her early 30s, started her journalism career in her 20s, writing about women's and social issues. Her blog is called Written by a Woman. In her last post on December 31st, she wrote about the pain of losing her father. Here's that post.
The long sickness and death of my father, seeing the destruction of a human being, understanding the physical deterioration before death, a life that was diminished day by day, my exposure to this painful process has left me vulnerable, such that I am dying bit by bit. I think about death and I accept death. I even desire death so I can get out of this dysphoric life. The passing of time has not helped. It has not diminished it. I know. I am sick. I am deeply depressed. I'm struggling with absolute absurdity. I don't have any motivation for creating even small goals. But to change this condition, I must do something. Maybe the first step is writing this.
Today we speak with Mehrad Vaezinejad, a Middle East affairs analyst based in London and a close friend of Ms. Rasuli. We'll also be speaking with Nihusha Masumi, who worked in Iran with Ms. Doguhaki at the online weekly magazine Cappuccino. She currently lives in Vancouver, BC. Nihusha and Mehrad, thanks for joining us today.
Not at all. Thank you very much for helping us to get the word out.
Thank you so much.
Nihusha, let's start with you. Tell me about your friend, Parastu.
I met Parastu around 10 years ago. She was the first blogger that I met when I started blogging. We were just a very small group of young people started blogging. And her blog was the one which inspired me to start writing and blogging myself. And so she was the first one I met. And she later on, like in a week, introduced me to the rest of the group, and that's how I get to know her more and worked with her for a while. She changed my life.
I understand that neither women were writing about political issues. What did she write about?
She was basically writing about her daily life, the matters that she was concerned in the community, in our city, in our culture, and at the same time, yes, she was a journalist and she was working for a magazine at that time. She started with Zanan magazine, which the translation of it would be a women magazine in Iran when she was the first year of university.
And what about Ms. Rasuli?
It was just, again, daily stuff. Something about the society, about culture, about what is going on in our city, not anything in particular political. And as far as I know, I never read an article published by under her name in any newspaper with a political title.
So your friends have been arrested and accused of these very vague charges. What do you think is the real agenda behind this?
Yeah, it just sent a message to us that how scared they are with regard to what is going to happen before the election and what is going to happen after the election. and they are just trying to have everyone who they think would be active or even would go to the street in prison so that nothing would happen and they can have their election the way they want and have the people that they want in the parliament and not let anyone knows what's going on or anyone write about it. Because, you know, when someone is active and it's concerned about what's going on in the country, when something big is happening, for sure it will be so difficult for them to not say anything or to not write anything. So my understanding is that probably they were so worried and scared that they are going to write anything or they are going to come to the street and participate in any potential demonstration that the government is thinking is going to happen. So they just want everyone to be under their control and in Evin prison, so and nothing would happen in this case.
Nayusha, since both women have been denied the ability to have family visitations, how do you imagine your friend Parastu might be dealing with her conditions?
She's very strong, so I know that she will be fine. I know that she understands the situation and she can tolerate whatever is going to happen to her. But I'm just, as a close friend, I'm just so worried for her well-being and the stuff that is going on her mind. I'm sure she's terrifying and she's so worried for her mom right now. I can imagine that, knowing Parastu, and that's the only thing that I'm concerned. And I wish they could get the news or talk with her mom and have this peace in her mind that her mom is okay.
Let's turn to Mehrad. How are you and your colleagues getting information on the women's whereabouts?
Her sister has been our main point of contact in Iran because she's the one who is following her and goes to Evin prison every day and goes to, you know, judiciary following her case. And she has been the main source of news for us on Marzia in the past week.
Okay, so let's go back to something Nayusha mentioned earlier. So this March, Iran will be holding its parliamentary elections. Do you think the recent string of arrests of journalists is some sort of a preemptive action by the government to block the free flow of information?
That is definitely one thing, as you said. I mean, because anyone who is, let's say, internet savvy and can be a source of news, whether internally or for outside Iran, is viewed as a threat. And obviously, people like Marzi and Parastu can fall into that category. So that can be a reason. The other, as you said, as you mentioned, because these hasn't been the two cases or a number of other cases, some of them I know personally, some of them not, I know just via friends, that have been arrested in the past week or maybe past couple of weeks. So it's part of, I can say, if we can put it that way, a campaign of fear that they're trying to, you know, perpetuate in the run-up to the elections, that they themselves, based on what they say, the authorities, and even the Iranian supreme leader, think there would be a political challenge. I mean, this is a quote I'm taking from Mr. Khamenei himself, that they think that the elections could be a political challenge for them. So it's sort of a preemptive action. It's not even that people like Marzi and Parastu would have done anything in the next couple of months or so, but it's that they fear that something might be in the making and they can make examples of people. But if they hold people like Marzi and Parastu, not just the two of them, but many people like them, if they arrest these people and keep them, let's say, for a couple of months, which is very normal with their standards of, you know, handling these cases, then it will have a real impact as well. Because if anything is going on during the elections, which is the first week of March in Iran, if someone like Parastu is out and at her home, even if she doesn't do anything, she could be a source of news on Facebook or email with friends or anything. But now, it's not just making examples. If they're inside when the election comes, or people like Saham, who was arrested and was a photojournalist. I mean, these people are the main sources of news.
Okay, so what do you and your colleagues hope will happen out of this campaign to raise awareness?
We also ask the other governments, the international community, and obviously the civil society and the human rights, you know, activists, all to, I mean, be united in condemning this kind of arrest and to require the Iranian government to at least explain as soon as possible and to facilitate the flow of information, at least to know that these people are fine, that they're being treated well, that they have access to medication, that, for example, Parastu is on medication, to make sure that these things are, and if the charges are unsubstantiated, to release them as soon as possible.
Mehrad and Neosha, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Not at all. Thank you very much for helping us to get the word out.
Thank you so much. I would like to thank you and all of your colleagues on behalf of all Parastu's friends. What you are doing means a lot to us, and I'm sure it means a lot to Parastu, and she would be so happy when she's going to be out and hearing the stuff that we have been doing and you guys are doing. I'm sure it means a lot to us. So I just want to thank all of you for spending your time and being concerned about the situation in my country and about our friends.
That was Mehrad Vaezinejad and Nehusha Masumi. Friends and colleagues of Ms. Rasuli and Ms. Dokuhaki have set up a website with information. You can find the link on our website at www.iranhumanrights.org/podcast. That's all for this edition. For more news about human rights issues in Iran, visit our website at iranhumanrights.org. Join us next time for the Iran Human Rights Podcast. Thanks for listening.